This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 102 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, our guest is Kinky Abby and Art Extreme. Here's your hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting across the desk tonight is the Beast.
Hey, Woody, I'm feeling 200% better than I did last time.
Well, that is so good, because last time it was no car.
It was no car, $1,100 no car.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, well, the day before I'd been to my doctor.
Oh.
That it was a rough week. And then we had one of the kids move back in, and that was a week.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well,
but now you had some fun with your guest.
I did. Last week we had Hardy Haberman out of Dallas, and what an amazing soul he was.
So I'm sorry I missed that.
He missed it. Oh, well. But yes. Like everyone else, he had to hear it on the Kinky Cast.
Yes, I did. But a beat a setting waiting for a tow truck.
I bet.
Well, Woody, we're across the nation today.
I'm right here.
No. Our guests are across the nation. And we are trying something new with the studio. We have two lines going at the same time coming in from a lovely couple out in Oregon. Hello, Abby and JT.
Hello.
Hello.
Abby is a webcam model and a website model, and JT works outside the house, but they live a MS dynamic with a twist. They consider it the hedonist lifestyle. Help me with that. What's a hedonist lifestyle?
JT, you want to take this one?
Hedonism is basically we live for pleasure in multiple different ways, like physically, mentally, and spiritually. And hedonism, we kind of follow where pleasure takes us. And pleasure can also mean pain as well. So that brings in BDSM as well.
Sounds like fun to me.
Sounds like a great evening for sure. JT, you're the lead in this relationship. How long have you been following this path?
There's different terminologies nowadays. I'm 50 years old. Been around the block for quite a while. I've been in master-slave type relationships before, even as a teenager, because I was kind of a little bit different than most, a little bit more aware of who I am and who other people are, and sensuality and a whole boatload of other things, but I just joined this BDSM community lifestyle up here in Oregon about 6, 7, 8 years ago. It kind of grew on me very fast. I found out a little bit more on what the terminology is, how it fits in my lifestyle. My wife and I tried it out for a while. Some things worked, some things didn't. I tried it out when I was a teenager. Some things worked, some things didn't. When Abby came along, things kind of fell into place. We think that we were kind of made socially and spiritually for what we're doing right now at MS.
And Abby, how did you come along?
I was introduced to it. I was a chef for 16, 17 years in my life. About 2 years ago, I was working in a restaurant that hosted a kink night, a fetish night. Once a month, they would join in the restaurant, and I would cook for a bunch of kinky people.
Oh, wow. That was an eye-opening experience.
It was pretty eye-opening. You know, I've always been intrigued by BDSM, by kink, by not the normal, what you would call vanilla sex or vanilla porn. So I had an idea about it, but I'd never actually participated in it myself. That was my first introduction to it. Shortly after that time period, I met JT at a local dungeon, which I didn't know existed until a girlfriend of mine brought me to a party.
The sparks flew immediately?
I would say pretty much immediately. He was leaving the party as I was arriving, and I was nervous and hiding behind my girlfriend. And I saw him, and I said, "Who is that?" I got to know who he is. I just had a spark. She introduced us briefly, and then he contacted me through FetLife and had the same emotions about me as well. So we started from there.
And JT, what was it for you?
I've played with a lot of people. We call it play in BDSM in our community. Particularly up here in the Northwest, we call it play. I've played with literally hundreds of different people, males, females, but mostly females. I've come across a lot of new people in the scene. I wouldn't exactly say it was just like a chance meet or whatever with Abby, but I did see something in her that kind of sparked something. She's very sexy. She's my type. So I naturally followed up with introducing myself and finding out her dynamic. Finding out she was new kind of threw me off a little bit. It kind of worked around that. So after the first couple of times we met and we talked, she was very intrigued. She was very interested in the lifestyle and what it could bring her. So I evaluated her and it just kind of went on from there.
Anybody that will have seen Abby's pictures on the internet will realize she was quite a stunning catch, and I can see how she turned ahead.
Absolutely.
The relationship evolved quickly. You were a chef, Abby, and now you've made a serious right turn in your life.
Yes. I remained a chef for probably 6 or 7 months, I think, into our relationship, getting to know each other. It took everything out of me. I really gave everything of myself to being a chef. I got to a point where it was overwhelming and I was just going to look for a new place to be a chef at. And JT shared with me at that point that he doesn't want me working as hard as I do for as little as I am making. We decided to try something new because we had already had a propensity for it. I was skeptical that I was going to be able to make enough to contribute to our household. But he gave me the opportunity to experiment with it. And from that, I just kind of took off.
We wanted to welcome two new sponsors to the Kinky Cast, PrimalHardware.com and BondageBands.com. For more information, check out the homepage of KinkyCast.com.
I'd like to add also, you know, we're kind of like skipping over a year of different things. There's a lot of structure involved with MS, if I may continue.
We won't get the whole story here because many of our listeners are forming relationships, and seeing different and hearing about different relationships are really critical to helping them forming their own.
In my experience, I think it's very critical to hear both sides of an MS type of relationship that's a master-slave relationship, because each dynamic is integral to the other. I want to call it a kind of symbiotic type of relationship. It goes way beyond any normal type of relationship because there is structure and because there are rules. And, well, I run a very strict house, so we call it high protocol. And some of the terminology actually comes from the old leather guard, which comes out of San Francisco. You could be looked up on the web for further information. But Abby kind of explains very well how the evaluation was and what we decided to do and what things we decided to wait on. I'm going to let her take it from there.
Sure.
We definitely know that a new relationship doesn't go straight from meeting to master-slave overnight.
No, it happened fairly quickly as far as my mental readiness for it, even though I didn't really have a definition for anything that I was feeling or experiencing. You know, I have a pretty virgin view of what that meant for me. I had never been in any sort of MS or kinky relationship in my life. When I started being introduced to it on a personal level, JT gave me a checklist to fill out. And some of the things on the checklist I had never even heard of before, but I'm a very open-minded person and found out fairly quickly that I don't have a lot of things that I wouldn't try or be open to experimenting with. That checklist kind of gave him an insight what my submissiveness looks like. We met first for the first time to discover things under the guise that we would be going into an MS type dynamic. I didn't know what that was, but I felt like it was something that I wanted to seek out. We met in a hotel room. There was rules in place from moment one. He's married, and at that time, we're sexually monogamous. So I knew that there was no sex on the table. I felt very safe with that decision and felt like it opened up my ability to be able to explore BDSM purely without the pressures of sex being involved. We started there, and almost immediately upon meeting, I had no idea what to expect, but his idea of me changed, and so did mine. We walked in and both felt the need to say that we weren't quite ready to jump into this MS with both feet yet, that we wanted to explore each other more because we felt something deeper going on. During that first meeting, he brought an array of toys, implements, whips, paddles, canes, stuff I'd never seen before and definitely never felt before. He kind of gave me a tasting of the things that called out to me. I was hooked.
It is quite addictive, isn't it?
It is. I've always known that I've had a high pain tolerance, but I didn't know why. And now I know why, fully why.
I'm sorry?
Did I hear you chuckling about her pain tolerances?
Well, I'd like to intercede here just for a minute. Some definitions we've been kind of throwing around that we need to have here is sadism, masochism, and they're kind of like yin and yang, multiple different levels, which also brings in pain and pleasure, and they kind of work in hand. And what she's talking about is reaching a higher state of being through pain and pleasure. And how that comes to be is actually creating some type of pain on yourself or somebody else physically and mentally. And then you induce pleasure and then pain and then pleasure and then to a point where it's almost breaks you. And what this does is it actually creates another form of consciousness about yourself and about living and spiritual awakening, basically, through MS and BDSM. When Abby talks about pain and pleasure, she's actually talking about the real thing.
So you found that you love pain.
I found that it makes me appreciate pleasure to a much higher degree than I had ever experienced before. So yes, with the exploration of pain, found an entire new world of pleasure that I didn't know existed. And again, on a spiritual, mental, and physical level, it was therapy for me. It was sexual healing. It was emotional healing and absolutely bonding between being able to experience it by the hand of someone else who I trusted with my life.
And this is a story we've heard from quite a few other people, how it can be spiritually awakening and therapeutic. The DS, the SM, the dynamic, and the mechanics that go with the dynamic. This relationship evolved into what we have today. And how long did it take to evolve into?
We didn't know exactly where it was heading from the beginning. We started to explore, and JT, over time, started sharing with me his desire and really teaching me about what MS is, what it means to him. We began to explore together through different people's stories, through watching different things, through experiencing them on our own, and decided that ultimately we kind of got the same image of where we wanted to be with it. He evaluated me for a year before he shared with me that he wanted to make me his slave. That's a term that a lot of people struggle with. A lot of people struggle to understand what that means. And I get a lot of flack for it sometimes too. mostly in the community, I get a big support system because of the understanding. But he was under an evaluation almost as much as I was under an evaluation for being his slave. That trust needed to be built over a long period of time. It goes both ways. And so when people ask, you know, well, when did he collar you and make you his slave? And do you have a choice in this? And we're equals in this together. We have made a decision to walk down this path together. And after a year of evaluating each other and building that trust and love, that's when we decided to make it an official title, is what we call it.
And while the vanilla world may struggle with it, I know very few relationships that are quite so deliberate and quite so careful in choosing partners and deciding to make a connection. Many master-slave relationships that we hear about, they're very deliberate and very well thought out.
It's very laid out in what we expect in these types of relationships, as opposed to a lot of the vanilla relationships where they're just kind of a wing and a prayer and off they go.
But you all are kind of out, aren't you, to the vanilla world? Or I know you must be, Abby, because of your webcam work. But are you out to the general public?
That's kind of an interesting topic. My social life and my friends have always been very open-minded. So I have very few friends that I wasn't able to share this part of my life with, at least on some level. My family, I don't know if you want to get into my family.
That's up to you.
They're extremely vanilla. They're very right-wing Christian people. And I got outed in a way that was not so lovely. I knew that that was a possibility when I started to put things on the web. I didn't expect them to find me themselves because I know what kind of people they are, but I knew that it was a possibility when I started it, and I committed to it and said, you know what, even if this does come out to my family, I'm ready to own it. And I'm proud of who I am. I am public with it. You know, there's that one element that always kind of brings in a question or a hesitation sometimes to what exactly I put on the internet.
So what happened when they did find out?
We don't really talk about it a whole lot. I have an ex-husband who actually was the one who found me out and shared with my father what his daughter was doing.
Oh, how nice of that. Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? Once I found out they knew, I went to them and said, hey, look, I know you guys know that I work in the adult entertainment industry. I want you to know, you know, I'm safe, and they love me. They've always had opinions of me. Let's just put it like that. I've always been kind of the black sheep in the family. So it wasn't a surprise, I don't think, to them.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the symbology of our MS relationship. She wears an actual chain and a lock at all times around her neck. And that was in question with her family. People ask her about it in public. She shaves her head. You know, so these are all aspects of being in an MS relationship as far as I see it. I also want to mention that as far as her being a slave, she is actually a sex slave in service to me. I'm master to nobody but to her. I identify as sadist, hedonist, with tendencies of enjoying pain myself, which is masochism, to other lovers that I've come across. But I've shared all this with Abby, and it rounds me as being a master. So, which also brings other things up. She has really no choice in anything that she does without my say-so. She only has one choice in this relationship, and that is to leave. All the other choices that she has, she's a very strong-willed woman. I would not have it any other way. I let her get by with a lot of things because I love who she is, and I really think that with her, we've become a very positive pillar of our community, and I'd like to continue to do that. I let her speak her mind, and she's become quite the good slave.
Well, I am seeing a very wonderful dynamic that you all have, caring and supportive and well-grounded. So you're to be commended there.
Thank you.
Abby, the right turn. You made this right turn. Chef, do we call it porn? Do we call it adult entertainment? What's your new career?
That's another good question, because it's something that I have to answer for on a lot of different things, and I have to be proud of that answer when I and honest about it. I like to call it adult entertainment because not all of what I do is porn. Not all of what I do is BDSM. I'm an entertainer. I share my life with people. I make people's fantasies come to life online. So I like to call it entertainment.
The actual terminology here is that she is a sex slave, period. There's no other terminology. I mean, we can have kind words about, you know, how it's defined to other people, but she is a sex slave. She's a modern day entertainment sex slave, period.
But as far as like what I would put on a government application for, say, medical assistance, I am in the adult entertainment industry as far as the job that brings in money.
And we have talked to some industry greats. We've had Nina Hartley on twice now, and her husband Ernest was on each of those times. And we've had Slut out of who works in the brothels in Nevada has been joined us. So we have talked to people inside the industry, and we know that it's not the seedy, dark place that everybody has in mind from the 70s and 80s.
Right.
Right.
It's matter of fact, it's become quite a cottage industry in the 21st century.
Yep.
To kind of add on to that, she is, I could at any time sign her up at the local strip club here, and then that's what she'll be doing. Or I could take her to downtown to these local gangbangs and offer her to people. That is up to me. Right now, what we're doing is we're webcamming. She's contributing to the household, and that's what we're doing. It's through different MSs. For every MS, there is a different type, and there's a different type of following, different type of idealism. And it's open to interpretation, just like any other type of relationship. And it can change at any moment, and it's really up to the master to kind of figure that out. And a kind master will actually involve the slave, and that's what I do. I think it's integral. I think it's a pillar of our foundation to keep that emotionally intact between master and slave.
Definitely, you have a very strong and well-defined dynamic. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap this up? JT?
We could probably talk for days, but that pretty much sums it up.
Abby, what do you have to close with?
I would probably just say that to the people, to the listeners that are listening and are curious about MS, get involved with your community. There are so many different resources out there and people that are willing to talk about their personal experiences. It's great that you guys are doing these podcasts to where people can actually hear questions asked of people that they might not think about, and to hear people's stories. I think that's great. Do your research. You know, there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing out there in BDSM, in kink. So it's kind of difficult sometimes to weed through that. But getting involved personally in your community is a great way to start exploring these kinds of things.
Abby and JT, I just wanted to add in one last item here. When you guys get together, you negotiate the roles that you are to each other, the rules and boundaries, and you both agreed to it. There's no yes. forcing of your acceptance to his rules.
Correct.
Right. What we have is a lifestyle that is completely consensual. You're not doing anything that is out of bounds for you. You really live his will.
Yes.
I just wanted to really make that clear. Go ahead.
Very good point. Very good point.
We've been talking with Kinky Abby from FET and Art Extreme, her master from FET, today about the MS lifestyle and their way of living that lifestyle. We want to thank you both for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to episode 102 of The Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we bring the Sinister Minister to our kinky microphone.